From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. A federal judge on Friday ruled that Governor Mike Dunleavy and his former chief of staff, Tuckerman Babcock, violated the First Amendment rights of state employees by requiring what's been characterized as a political loyalty oath. U.S. District Court Judge John Sedgwick ruled in favor of two psychiatrists at Alaska Psychiatric Institute who were fired in 2018 for refusing to sign. One person reading the decision very carefully is Juneau attorney and political blogger Libby Bacalar. She has filed a similar lawsuit that's also before Judge Sedgwick.
I certainly think a lot of these legal developments are very positive developments potentially for my case.
Bacalar was an assistant attorney general until Dunleavy came into office. She was one of the 800 or so state employees who received a memo saying that to keep their jobs, they had to send a resignation letter and a letter expressing interest in serving the new governor. Judge Sedgwick concluded that Dunleavy's demand essentially required state employees to support the governor's political agenda. The facts of her case are somewhat different, so Bacalar couldn't say that the result would be the same.
But I will say that it certainly telegraphs a willingness on this judge's part, and it's the same judge, to recognize this patronage scheme for what it was. And so that alone is a huge victory, whether he ends up validating my own personal firing or not.
The judge ruled against Dunleavy and Babcock in their personal capacities. He concluded that the immunity that normally protects state officials doesn't apply because they infringed on well-established rights. If that holds, the personal assets of Dunleavy and Babcock could be tapped to pay monetary damages to the fired employees. The amount of those claims has not been determined yet. The governor's office referred questions about the decision to the Department of Law. A spokeswoman there said Friday that the state is considering its options. A decision in the Bacalar case is at least weeks away. U.S. Senate candidate Kelly Chewbacca has been cited for commercial fishing without a crew member license, according to Alaska wildlife troopers. Troopers say the offense stems from a video the candidate posted to social media in July. Chewbacca is shown removing fish from a set net on the Kenai Peninsula as jaunty marching band style music plays in the background.
Hey, Alaska, we're in Inilchik today, taking a break from the campaign trail and enjoying fish camp with my kids. From learning how to fish with my mom and dad to teaching my kids how to fish in Cook Inlet, this is what being Alaskan is all about.
Public records obtained by the Anchorage Daily News show Chewbacca did not have a crew member license at the time. Chewbacca's campaign manager declined an interview. He sent a lengthy statement from Chewbacca saying the candidate would pay the fine. Chewbacca said she purchased the commercial fishing outing at an auction and was a guest, not a crew member. She says the fish she was shown handling were never sold. Chewbacca went on to say the prosecution was politically motivated. In Friday's statement, Alaska wildlife troopers say they started looking into the video in July. The citation comes after what the department describes as a thorough investigation by troopers and the state's Office of Special Prosecution. Troopers say she faces a $270 fine that she can either pay or challenge in court. The trooper bulletin was posted almost 2 hours after Alaska courts closed for the weekend, and specifics of the charges were not listed on the state's online courts database. Chewbacca, a Republican, is a former commissioner of administration. She resigned this year to challenge U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski in next year's primary election. Two Alaska women will share custody of their son after the biological mother lost her court fight for sole custody, according to a state Supreme Court decision published on Friday. The decision is the first of its kind in Alaska involving a same-sex couple. It relies on legal precedent from similar child custody battles between men and women, in which the non-biological parent is deemed a psychological parent and retains custody. Susan Orlansky, the attorney representing the winning plaintiff in the case, says the justices agreed with her that the existing precedent on who should be considered a psychological parent also applies to non-biological parents in same-sex couples.
Like my client, who's not the biological parent, but who has functioned for many years as a day-to-day parent, has a way of going into court and relying on well-established law in this state to have a claim to continue custody of the child once the parents split.
According to the Supreme Court's published decision, here's what happened. The two women were in a committed relationship for 14 years. Prior to the legalization of same-sex marriage in 2014 in Alaska and 2015 nationwide, they held a commitment ceremony. They never married, and later, after they had a child via artificial insemination, the non-biological mother never formally adopted the child. They broke up in 2018 when the boy was 5 years old, And while the biological mother allowed the other mother visitation at first, she later cut off contact and filed for sole custody in Superior Court. A contentious custody proceeding followed, with interim visitation awarded to the non-biological mother, and the judge in the case eventually decided custody should be split. The biological mother appealed to the state Supreme Court, and the justice's decision Friday ends that dispute. Here's Orlansky again.
Oh, I'm very pleased. My client is devoted to the child and has been, you know, delighted by the Superior Court decision that gave her continued custody of the child that she considers her son. And we're very gratified that the Supreme Court recognizes her role as his parent and allows the award of shared custody to her to continue.
A message seeking comment from the biological mother's attorney was not returned. Preliminary results from Juneau's by-mail election came in on Friday evening. So far, about 40% of all ballots have been processed, though city election officials didn't clarify how many ballots total were cast. In the race for the District 1 seat on the Juneau Assembly, Watha Gidak Barbara Blake is leading over opponents Paul Kelly and Troy White-Smith. Michelle Hale is leading in the Juneau Assembly District 2 race over Kelly Fischler. Of the eight candidates vying for three seats on the Juneau School Board, so far the top three candidates are Elizabeth Sidden, Amber Frummers, and Iben Bailey. However, votes for the two write-in candidates haven't yet been counted. City election workers will begin counting those today. Official results will not be available until Tuesday, October 19th, though that day may also be delayed. So far, voters have also favored extending the city's 3% sales tax. A customs dispute at the U.S.-Canada border is threatening America's supply of a key fish used for popular products like fish sticks and fast food sandwiches. The Alaska pollock has a complicated supply chain. After being caught, it's transported by ship to New Brunswick, Canada, near the border with Maine. Then it crosses into the U.S. on trucks. The U.S. Customs and Border Agency alleges that shippers are violating the Jones Act, which requires that goods shipped between U.S. ports be transported on U.S.-owned ships. The dispute has left 26 million pounds of fish in cold storage in Canada. The Alaska Department of Corrections says a man serving time in custody has died and that his death was related to COVID-19. The department says 68-year-old John Nelson Andrew died at a Soldotna hospital on Friday. He has been in the department's custody for 10 years. Department spokesperson Betsy Holly says the man was being held at the Wildwood Correctional Center in Kenai before his death. She says the facility is experiencing a COVID-19 outbreak, with about 187 inmates having tested positive. She says that since the start of the pandemic, six inmate deaths have been COVID-19 related. A magnitude 6.9 earthquake struck off the coast of Alaska early Monday in what the Alaska Earthquake Center called an aftershock of an 8.2 quake from July. The U.S. Geological Survey on Twitter had reported a preliminary magnitude of 6.5 that was later revised to 6.9. The earthquake was about 70 miles east of Chignik, a community of about 90 people on the Alaska Peninsula. The Earthquake Center says Monday's quake was felt throughout the Alaska Peninsula and Kodiak Island. A center seismologist says it hadn't received reports of significant damage, but also relies on self-reporting. State health officials reported today that 89 new Juneau residents and visitors to the community tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. There are currently three people with the virus being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. The Juneau School District reported eight new people who tested positive for the virus and were contagious while at school. That includes three people at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'a Kahle, where no classes were quarantined as a result, two people at Mendenhall River Community School, where one class and most of another class were quarantined as a result, one each at Sit-E-T Chinook Glacier Valley School, Ok Bay Elementary School, and River Bend Elementary School. One class at each school is fully or partially quarantined as a result. Statewide, 2,792 new people have tested positive for the virus, and the state reported that four more people have died, one man from the Northwest Arctic Borough and three people from Anchorage. So far, at least 574 Alaskans have died from COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.